RNZ Pacific News, Malo le tui fōmaua. I'm Seo Manu Te Vamta Whai. Samoa's Ministry of Health has issued advice for people to prevent dengue fever in a social media update. In its update for the reporting period of April 1st to 14th, the ministry said Samoa had 216 laboratory confirmed cases of dengue starting from November last year until April 14th. 82 new cases were reported in the 2 weeks of that reporting period. A map of cases over 5 months from November 12th to April 14th shows the most cases in the Apia urban area and northwest Upolu. There are villages with reported cases dotted around the rest of Samoa. The Ministry of Health recommends cleaning up stagnant water sources, wearing clothing to minimise mosquito bites, and using mosquito nets and repellents. A judge in Kiribati may face deportation later this week after a tribunal ruled he should be removed from his post. The tribunal's report has just been tabled in the Kiribati Parliament and is due to be debated by MPs later this week, the last week of the current parliament ahead of the general election. Don Wiseman has more.
It found that Judge David Lanbourne should be removed as a puny judge of the Kiribati High Court because of his failure to file a timely written decision on a civil case 4 years ago. It dismissed three other allegations against him for lack of evidence, but also accepted reports that he had bullied a 57-year-old staffer by yelling at him. President Tani's Mamau had been instrumental in the establishment of the tribunal. With his party dominating the parliament, MPs could well vote to have Mr. Lanbourne deported immediately. Mr. Lanbourne is the husband of the Kiribati opposition leader, Tessie Lanbourne.
Transparency International Papua New Guinea says the government has to let the public know about its plans for a gold refinery in Mint. The scheme in the pipeline for several years is understood to offer a Singaporean company with Australian senior executives sweeping controls over the gold produced in the country. Few details have been released, but it is understood the government would own a substantial slice of the company. Spokesperson for TIPNG, Peter Aitsi, says the government has got to keep the people informed. He says if there is a public good in the proposed National Gold Corporation Bill, then it should be an open process.
There should be broader consultation with the various stakeholders that will be impacted by such a bill. And so clearly that type of consultation has been absent. So it draws suspicion in terms of the intentions and actions of the government, in particular those that are driving it, that being the Prime Minister and I think the Finance Minister.
Meanwhile, there are hopes the participation of Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at Anzac commemorations in Papua New Guinea will encourage public turnout. Mr. Albanese, who is in PNG, has so far engaged in bilateral talks with Prime Minister James Marape and walked the Kokoda track. RNZ Pacific correspondent in PNG, Scott Wade, says there have been low numbers at Anzac events in previous years.
There's a lot of unwritten history that needs to be told, and a lot of the responsibility is on the PNG government side. We need to sit down and write. Our families need to also document who participated in the campaigns, who contributed, so that there's some pride in their participation in the Anzac Day.
Over 50,000 people from Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands assisted in the war effort. Samoa Senior Supreme Court Justice Avui Clarence Nelson has raised concerns about the increase in hard drug offending. The Samoa Observer reports Justice Avui had queried the Attorney General's office on its position on treatment for methamphetamine users, being mindful that the Salvation Army offers treatment only for those who take marijuana and alcohol. He says the court can't keep sending people to prison because it's not working. Attorney General Office lawyer Maia Vatele Timothy Fesili welcomed the idea of exploring other options and programs for offenders. The Speaker of the New Zealand Parliament, Jerry Brownlee, is in the air with several MPs During the four-day visit, the members of Parliament were set to meet with youth representatives, village councillors and leading women figures on the island. Today, the delegation was to hold discussions with the members of the Niue Assembly. On Anzac Day tomorrow, Mr Brownlee and his delegation will be hosted by the Niue RSA for the Dawn Parade at the National War Memorial in Central Alofi. The delegation will leave Niue on Friday. A new hydrogen fueling station has opened in Auckland, powering heavy freight semi-trucks with clean hydrogen energy. The hydrogen pump was unveiled at an existing Waitomo fuel station in Wiri and is one of three hydrogen fuel stops in the North Island. Currently, there's only two trucks and a growing bus fleet that can use the hydrogen-powered fuel stop. Andrew Clennett, the chief executive of Heringa Energy, the company behind the network, says the station has capacity for 60 trucks a day.
We could do up to 60 trucks from this station, and that is taking 60 trucks off the road. And that's each truck's equivalent to taking between 100 and 150 cars off the road.
Andrew Clennett says the hydrogen is manufactured on-site using renewable electricity. In world news, Qatar is in what it's calling a re-evaluation phase and trying to mediate talks between Israel and Hamas over a ceasefire in Gaza. The country has been a key intermediary throughout the Israel-Gaza conflict. Its foreign ministry spokesperson Majid al-Ansari says his country needs a serious commitment by all sides to reach a deal.
Qatar is undergoing a reassessment of its role as a mediator. This has to do with a lot of elements, including the campaigns against my country in various media outlets and by various officials that are attacking our country in its role as mediators.
Along with the US and Egypt, Qatar was instrumental in helping negotiate a brief halt in fighting in November that led to the release of dozens of hostages. New Zealand and American researchers have found part of the West Antarctic ice sheet could survive if global carbon emissions are reined in. They have found that a combination of dense, salty water and uplift in the earth could stop ice from Sipple Coast area melting into the Ross Sea. If global heating is kept well below 2 degrees above pre-industrial temperatures. The researchers led by GNS Science say that it is important because the West Antarctic ice sheet contains enough water to raise sea levels by more than 5 metres. A zoo in Japan that spent years puzzling over the behaviour of a male hippopotamus has discovered that he is actually a she. The BBC's Electra Naismith has the details.
Genchan arrived at Osaka's Tennoji Zoo in 2017 from a safari park in Mexico. The vital import documents all certified his manhood, but zookeepers soon became perplexed. As Genchan grew, they couldn't spot any visible genitalia, and all the usual male hippo habits like splattering feces all over the place and making courtship calls were absent. The zoo finally resorted to a DNA test, which revealed that, yes, the 12-year-old is female.
In sport, the Flying Fijians will battle Six Nations champions Ireland in Dublin in November. AFP media says the Irish will meet the All Blacks, Argentina, Fiji and the Wallabies in their Autumn Nations series. Meanwhile, the Flying Fijians are scheduled to battle the All Blacks in San Diego in July. Cook Islands Olympian Alani Hay Connolly has won a silver medal in the 100 metres breaststroke at the Oceania Swimming Championships in Brisbane. Connolly will now go on to the Paris Olympics with fellow swimmer Wesley Roberts. Cook Islands Swimming President Romani Katoa says Connolly's achievement is the result of dedicated training. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.